It was a Saturday night. I had just finished preaching at the evening service. The band was playing before I closed the service. And as I sat there on the stage, I felt this inner urging to ask the Lord, "Do you have a word that you want me to give out?" I mean, I wasn't jumping at getting a word from the Lord. That was not my normal practice. But it was a strong urging. Somewhat reluctantly, I asked the Lord. And as I asked, the Lord spoke non-audibly to me, clear as if it was audible. "Someone here has been given a bad prognosis last Wednesday. I am the healer." I was taken back. I'd never received a word in a service like this before. So in my mind, I'm going, have I rightly heard this? Is this really from the Lord? What if I give the word out and there's no one who fits that description? And so with nervousness and trepidation, I gave the word out. I asked for whoever this person was to raise their hand. You could have heard a pin drop. And then three rows from the front, a young mum raised her hand. Tears started to roll down her face. I was stunned. Emotion surged within me. She was a key ministry leader with whom I had a lot of contact. I hadn't heard anything through that week about a bad prognosis. So I asked her why she'd put up her hand. Her darling three-year-old daughter, with a variety of serious medical issues affecting her sight, movement, and social interactions, had been taken to their main specialist on Wednesday, and the prognosis was really poor. I was close to this family. Emotions were surging within me. Those gathered were similarly impacted. This was a word of knowledge, information from God the Holy Spirit. I had been given supernatural knowledge. But what was I going to do with this knowledge? The daughter wasn't present. She was home in bed. And then I received another word. The Spirit instructed me what to do next. It was a word of wisdom. So we called forth the mum. You could feel faith rising in the room. And that's what typically happens with a word of knowledge about healing. We gathered around. We laid hands on the young mum as she stood in the gap for her daughter. I prayed that the Lord would come in power and heal the daughter of every ailment. It was a very moving and a powerful time. The Lord then impressed on me, and impressions are often the way the Lord reveals things to us, to pray again the following Sunday morning, but this time laying hands on the daughter. Friends, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. So what happened? Well, I had hoped for instantaneous and total healing on the spot of every malady. But that actually wasn't the path that the Lord was taking us on. It was a path of persistent covenantal prayer. Me, the parents, others close to the family. And over a period of a few years, one problem after another was powerfully dealt with by the Holy Spirit. I mean, of course, medical services continued to be utilized, but given the prognosis, what was progressively taking place before our eyes was truly miraculous as this young girl grew. And it came to such a point of healing for this beautiful little girl that she actually became the leader of the troop of kids who'd be up on the stage dancing and singing kids' songs when it was the kids' spot in the morning service. And I'd look over at a mum. We'd both have moist eyes. And our minds and our hearts were saying the same thing. God has worked a miracle. He spoke and it has come to be. How stunning it is that the Creator of heaven and earth cares so much about every one of us. We worship a speaking God. As Christians, we believe he wants to direct us in our lives and help us to know him and his will for our lives. And as we saw last week, the Holy Spirit who indwells us manifests his presence through what Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 12 as manifestations of the Spirit. And I often split these nine gifts, these nine manifestations, into threes. And in the handout that's been sent out with the worship service emails, you'll see that plus on the slides of the service that are also attached to that email. So one group, gifts of discernment. Think of them as the eyes of God, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Second group, gifts of power. Think of those as the hand of God, the gift of faith, healings. And note that the term there is plural, working of miracles. And the third group, gifts of speech. Think of those perhaps as the mouth of God, prophecy, various tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And those nine are lifted in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10. Today, we're looking at two of the gifts of discernment, word of wisdom and word of knowledge. And even though we're actually giving a fair bit of focus to these nine gifts over the next few months, there's actually so much that we could explore in every one of them. So I'm whetting your appetites. I want to encourage you to do what Paul instructs us in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, to eagerly desire the gifts. And we might follow up with some seminars depending on how this year works out. Let me encourage you to keep a track of questions that arise in your mind, because as we go through the series, we will have two open forums for questions and answers. That word that I got as I sat on the stage and the band was playing is what Paul refers to in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, as a word of knowledge. It is one of those nine manifestations of the Spirit. And when the Spirit directed me as to what I was to do with that word of knowledge, with that data, if you like, then God was giving me wisdom. And Paul calls that a word of wisdom. It's also identified in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. Before we dig into these two wonderful gifts, these beautiful gifts, I want us to look at what Paul says about the Holy Spirit in our reading today from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'd like you to turn with me there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Every believer can hear from God. The human spirit is regenerated by the Holy Spirit when we come to faith, and Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we are new creations in Christ. Our human spirit is tied to the Holy Spirit, and God is a revealing, speaking God. The Holy Spirit is like literally a go-between us and the very heart and the very mind of God. Because we share his spirit, we can be let in on the secret thoughts of God. And how cool is that? 1 Corinthians 2 and the verses 10 to 16 is like a watershed passage in Scripture. Paul describes what God's intention for his creation was all along. He wants to share his mind with us. He wants us to know the deep things he is thinking and to feel the depths of his heart. Paul even says the Holy Spirit searches the depths of God, verse 10, and relates them to us. In verse 16, we're told that we have the mind of Christ. That is, our regenerated spirit can access the very mind of Jesus, the King. I mean, isn't that stunning? Just think about it. The Holy Spirit searching even the deep things of God and revealing them to us. You see, what Paul is writing here had never before been spoken or written in the Old Testament. God is saying this: through Christ, you can know what I'm thinking. But I want you to notice verse 13. You have to have a spiritual nature, otherwise this truth will not be accepted, as it says in verse 14. So look at verses 11 and 12. No one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. God wants to share his secrets with us. And I recommend that you grab a copy of the book by Sean Boltz, which is simply entitled God's Secrets. It's a great read. Okay, so let's define these two gifts. And again, you'll find some of the highlights of the message in those notes that have been emailed out. Word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is information or understanding received from the Lord. It's an insight into the things freely given us by God. That's how the NIV translates verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 2. It shares the truth of facts that the Spirit wishes declared concerning a specific occasion, with a practical application of an outpouring of God's love. I mean, that's what we saw with the story of the young mum and her daughter. We're not to think of this gift, or indeed any other gift, as mine, kind of like personal possession. It's a particular word given in a particular instance and is mine only in the act and moment of uttering it. In the May of 2012, I received one of the most electrifying words I've ever received. It came 1 year after the promotion to glory of my late wife, and daily life for me was very challenging, pastoring a church and caring for my disabled son who needed 24/7 care. I attended a conference, it was called a New Wine Conference, at a nearby parish. And on the Friday night, there was an open session with three people up the front giving out words. One of them, a lady, singled me out to stand. It's kind of like I'm ducking behind people. But no, she was pointing to me, and I'm going, "You mean me?" The person didn't know me. And she proceeded to give me a stunning word from Ezekiel 37. Here's just part of it. She says, "You're like Ezekiel 37. The Lord is showing you the dry bones and showing you life. In the midst of being surrounded by death, the Lord wants to teach you what he sees and teach you how to prophesy life. You carry the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, which will be released from you and through you. You were created for life and to bring and breathe life into things. There is a prophetic gifting in you that the Lord wants to foster and grow. It's very important to speak out. This is your birthright, your inheritance. You will not prophesy what you see in the natural, but what, how God sees." Wow. I mean, it was quite a word. Maybe in my mind I'm thinking, is that really from the Lord? Did this person just have a fertile imagination? But I mean, I was blown away by it. I sensed in my spirit that it was indeed from the Lord. So I started to pray into it. Prayed that God would somehow make it real to me. And as I did, I received words of wisdom. I mean, often these two gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, go together. Why? Well, because the gift of the word of knowledge is giving you information that you wouldn't have otherwise known. Knowledge gives us facts, and wisdom shows us what to do about the facts. We all need God's wisdom. So here's a definition of a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom reveals a part of the total wisdom of God. It is seeing what God sees in a situation and saying it. It's applying God's wisdom to a specific situation. I needed a word of wisdom so I would know how I should apply this stunning word of knowledge. And so I did what we're instructed to do in James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given you. And the Lord spoke into my life on numerous occasions as to how to apply this word of knowledge, praying resurrection life into people who were spiritually dead, praying this word into situations where people were desperately ill. And about 6 months after receiving this word of knowledge, one of my wardens, who was not aware of that word that I'd received at the conference, rang me on a Friday night. I can remember where I was just getting into the car at the time. And the warden said this, "Rod, I've been in deep prayer for you. I asked the Lord to lead me to scriptures that he wants to reinforce to you. Rod, the Spirit took me to Ezekiel 37, breathing life into valleys of dry bones, speaking out resurrection life." I got to tell you, I nearly dropped the phone. This stunning word 6 months prior was now being reinforced. I mean, the hair on my neck stood up. Wow, how great is our God. He knows exactly what I'm going through. He's pouring his love and care over me. And he's raising me up, even in new gifts like prophecy, so that I can minister as he wants me to. What are the purposes of this gift of the word of knowledge? I mean, it's a really versatile gift, and you'll see it through scripture or in our practical use of it, revealing sin, even at basic level of locating lost items, to give warnings, to provide safety, to reveal thoughts, to provide healing, to bring a calling from God on someone's life. There are so many biblical examples of word of knowledge, and Jesus, as in everything, is the perfect pattern. And I've got these listed in your notes. I encourage you to look at the encounter with Nathanael in John chapter 1, verse 47. And I want you to notice as you read that, his intense response in verse 49. It's like intense conviction. Or what about John 4 with the Samaritan woman at the well? The woman knew that there was no natural means by which Jesus could have known the details of her past. And then when you get to verse 39, you see that the town was also convicted. If you go to Acts, you see the word of knowledge applied in Acts 5 with Peter and Ananias in that encounter of Ananias and Sapphira. And then there's another Ananias in Acts 9, and he was the guy who was given Saul's exact name and address. I mean, not only does a word of knowledge often bring conviction, in some cases it also builds faith. For example, when someone who is sick is actually called out, but the Lord wants to come and heal them, the person realizes that if God knows about the problem, then God can heal it. And many times a word of knowledge is used as a tool to bring faith into operation for healing. And you'll also often see the gift of the word of knowledge overlapping with gifts of healings and workings of miracles, because an atmosphere of faith is generated. And there's this deep realization by the afflicted person that God knows them. He knows their problem. He cares. He loves them. And faith rises. I mean, that's what this church, Oak Tree, has experienced many times at its healing services. The prayer team would gather for about an hour before the service and wait on the Lord for words of knowledge. Then when those words were given out in the service and someone was present with that condition, faith goes through the ceiling and you can confidently command pray. And we'll speak more about command praying when we do our three-week mini-series on healing starting in a fortnight. Words of knowledge are also used by the Lord to prepare us for what is to come. Perhaps it's a warning. You'll see an example of that in Acts 21 with the word that was delivered by Agabus. I've experienced a word of knowledge like that. I was on an overseas trip after I'd arranged some carers for Brendan, and soon after arriving overseas, I received a text message from some of the team back at church. They had been gathered for prayer, and the Lord had revealed to them plans of the enemy to bring harm to me on this trip. I was initially pretty stunned when this was communicated to me. But as my heart rate settled down, I prayed into it, and the Lord showed me what I needed to do and what to avoid on my travels. And the trip ended up trouble-free. You know, over the years, as I've sought to grow in these gifts, I ask the Lord stacks of questions. Probably every week I ask him stacks of questions. And I so love hearing from him. In John 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice." And friends, don't think that words of knowledge are for just a few. Eagerly desire and let words from the Lord become an integral part of your daily life and your walk with the Lord Jesus. He's always present. Chat to him. Draw close to him. And in those supplementary notes, I've referenced an excellent book entitled Four Keys to Hearing the Voice of God. Highly recommend it. You know, as we grow in the gifts by using them, we need to be wise. And as we're growing in them, we want to be sure that we're using other mature believers to share those words with them. And just check, is that coming from the Lord? Is that just coming from my own flesh? So do that. It's so emphasized with prophecy, but it applies across these other gifts like words of knowledge. Supernatural knowledge does not come by natural reasoning, it doesn't come by education or training, but it comes directly by the Holy Spirit. And that's just the same with the word of wisdom. Let me share a little bit more about words of wisdom. Wisdom is not about just being smart. It's about the kind of wisdom that James 1:5 instructs us to ask about. It's the wisdom that comes from above, given freely by God. It's the wisdom that's given in a word of wisdom, isn't something that you can get for yourself. It's not like building up skills. It's not knowing lots of Bible verses. It's about knowing Christ, knowing him experientially. In Colossians 2:3, we're told that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So what's the purpose of word of wisdom? In a word of wisdom, the wisdom of Christ is being brought to bear on a situation through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God is giving life-changing insights. And these insights can apply at a personal level, to a business, within a family, in a nation, and indeed globally. So many examples in Scripture. A classic in the Old Testament would be Joseph in Egypt. He's given a word of knowledge by God about a famine that was coming. And alongside that, he's given a word of wisdom as to what to do to prepare the land. And the result for the people was that they were able to survive and not starve. God knows the future, and he's able to give us the wisdom as to how we can operate in the future in a way that will see his blessing happen. So many other examples in Scripture. Here's just a few. In Matthew 21, from verse 23 on, the encounter between Jesus and the Pharisees about John the Baptist. John 7 into John 8, Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. It's a classic example of it. Acts 15, where there's that interaction with James on the question of circumcision. So, how do we receive these words? I mean, that is a subtopic which is massive in itself, and I've put these points in those notes for you. There are heaps of way that we receive these words. So, words of knowledge, how do we receive them? The most common way would be impressions in our mind. You'll see examples of that in Mark 2, verse 8, Luke 24, verse 45. And then by the quickening of Scripture, you're reading Scripture, it's like, oh, wow, the Lord's just given me information here. Through visions and dreams, very, very often in Scripture. Through a trance, Acts 11, verses 4 and following. Very occasionally, the direct voice of God. Example would be Luke 9, verse 35 and following. So lots of ways with words of knowledge, and not surprisingly, lots of ways that we receive words of wisdom. Maybe the main way by the Holy Spirit speaking within us, that is giving us a divine impression. And it's often accompanying a word of knowledge with facts that we wouldn't have known before. Again, like a word of knowledge being quickened as we're reading a verse, a line of Scripture, and it just stands out, and the God's implanting wisdom in us. And sometimes by what you might describe as a mind's eye picture. Sometimes an utterance of wisdom comes as a prophetic utterance, and it actually has all the characteristics of prophecy. I want you to note that the gifts of word of knowledge and word of wisdom can't always be separated all that clearly. Don't get too fussed about having super clear delineation between these two gifts. But I want to encourage you to activate them. I want to encourage you to do what we're instructed to do in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, to eagerly desire them. Encourage you to draw close to the Lord, as we're instructed to do in James chapter 4, verse 8, to worship the Lord, to trust Him, to sit in His presence, to get saturated with the Spirit of revelation and wisdom. Meditate on Ephesians 1, 17 to 19, and let me encourage you to meditate on it super regularly. Paul writes, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know Him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which He's called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power for us who believe, according to the working of His great power. Rejoice that the Holy Spirit, who indwells you, desires to manifest Himself through you for the building up of the church, for the extension of the kingdom, for making the name of Jesus famous throughout the world. Focus on Jesus. The Holy Spirit releases understanding to us so that we might really know Jesus the way He wants to be known. And on top of that, the more we see Him, the more we understand His power and authority. He is the name above all names, the ruler over all authority. He has all power, not only now, but forever. So let me encourage you, pursue a life of communication with the living, revealing, speaking God. Keep your primary focus on loving Jesus and loving people. I want to encourage you, as we did last week, for you just to stand, perhaps, that helped you in focusing. As I pray, and in those attachments, if you've received those by email, you'll also find the words of this prayer. If this is what resonates in your heart, make it your prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I boldly ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to operate in my life. We live in troubled times. I recognize that I need the empowering of the Holy Spirit in my life. I desire to grow in the gifts of the words of knowledge and wisdom. Lord, grant me divine intelligence and wisdom from above, so that I might live out the destiny you have on my life, so that I might be used in the building up of the church, and so that I might be used powerfully in the extension of the kingdom of God. I welcome the release of your knowledge and wisdom into my life and ministry, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.